I've preached this thing 4 or 5 times here at church this week. And there wasn't this many people here, though. The Lord didn't say anything about I did wrong. He didn't complain one bit. He just sat patiently and listened to me. He did drop something in my heart when I was practicing this morning, or after I got through practicing. You know, on Sunday mornings, I like to watch David Jeremiah on TV. He's got a program comes on about 30 minutes. I like to let him preach at me a little bit. And, of course, I like Brother Hagee to preach at me. And I like Brother Swaggart sometimes to preach at me. But those people, and I know many of you like those people should not replace our time with God. We need to spend time with God more than with anybody else. I just know that when you've listened to those people and then you come in here and have to listen to me, I know where I am on the ladder, folks. But anyhow, I appreciate Brother Otwell giving me the opportunity to speak today, and I hope when I'm through that you will appreciate it too. God's so good. He's blessed us in so many ways. And I hope this morning there's something in the Word that'll bless your heart and soul, something that'll make a difference. You know, sometimes it does take a mountain to get our attention. And things happen in our lives. I know I was thinking about Brother James. Whenever I go through the hospital or something like that and I have to have a procedure done, something like that, and when I come back, I want to come to God's house. I want to come to God's house, and I want to thank God. It's not real, it seems like. I appreciate my wife and family, but it's not really real till I get back to God's house and thank Him. Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 7? Now, I'm not a long-winded preacher. It just seems that way sometimes. And I'll do my best to have you out by one. Now, there is somebody that said they had to leave early. They were kind enough to tell me that. So don't think it's over when you see someone leave, all right? In Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold to the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things you do. And he said unto them, Full well ye have rejected the commandments of God, that ye may keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses my father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man say unto his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, it shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and made such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from within a man that entereth into him that can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If any man hath ears to hear, Let him hear. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord God, I just pray your anointing upon your word, Lord God. Not because I'm speaking, Lord Jesus, but because it's your word, Lord God. And I pray the things I preach will be your word and manna unto the people here today. Let them be blessed, Lord God. If there's any here not ready to leave today for the rapture, you touch their heart and souls and let repentance come into their life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go back and study, you'll find that Jesus is in Galilee. And the Pharisees and the scribes come down from Jerusalem to see him. Now, that was a trip of about 80 to 100 miles. But it'd be worth the trip to see Jesus, to be able to sit and listen to his teachings and see the people who are healed, the blind, the eyes open, you know, and the lame walk and the deaf hear. To see all that would be great. But they did not come for the great things Jesus was doing. They come to see if Jesus was doing anything wrong. They come to find fault with him. A lot of people come to church to get saved, not to get saved, but to see what's happening. Some people hadn't been to church maybe in years, but they remember going in their younger days, and they come back to see what's happening in the church. And some of them come just to find fault. If they can find some fault, they don't have to come back to church. Nothing's changed, so stay away. I was not raised in church myself. My mother didn't drive, and my dad was gone much of the time on the bus. In the Marines is when I started going to church really regular. Every Sunday morning, I went to church. That was 1 hour the drill instructor couldn't get on me. After boot camp, I didn't go at all until I met a girl. And after I met her and married her, then I literally didn't go at all again. Maybe when we go home and leave or something like that, I would go to church because I didn't want the people to think I was unsaved. But I'm living proof that you can sit in God's house and be unsaved. After I got out of the Marines, we went back to her church, and I started going to that church. And once again, I was doing my thing and putting on my act so people wouldn't know that I was a heathen. And me and God and my wife is the only ones that knew. But one day, God touched me, and it made all the difference in the world. Amen. Only the Pharisees and the scribes and Jesus knew their motive for being there that day. It did not take long for them to find fault. They asked about his disciples. In the Old Testament, they had certain washing customs that they did. They carried it over to certain rituals they made up. Traditions and habits that were not bad. I'm not saying it's bad to wash your hands or anything. I'm glad the young people are gone. They might take this the wrong way. But they started to put them on the same level as the commandments of God, and they were not. And if you didn't follow their rules, and you were a sinner, and you could be kicked out of the synagogue, excommunicated as it were. Part of the problem was they didn't even follow their own tradition, you know, washing their hands all the time. They had a rule that if they stayed in their house, they didn't have to wash their hands all every time before they ate anything. They just washed them once that morning, and they were clean. So the main thing was when they went out into public and people saw them, they were to wash their hands. You know, there's some Christians today who look different outside than they do when they're in God's house. They act a little bit different. Maybe you've known some of them. We have rules kind of like that at our house. When I work outside and I get real dirty and everything, I come in, I get soap and water, wash my hands, mow the yard, I take a shower usually before I do anything else. If I stay in the house, I go to the kitchen sink, rinse them off, and use a paper towel. My wife is more legalistic. She uses soap and water nearly every time she washes her hands. She always says, I've been petting the dog. I've been trying to get her to get rid of that dirty dog, but she won't do it. Don't send me cards and letters. I know my wife's way's probably better, you know. But when I was eating sea rations in the Marine Corps, we wasn't too concerned with hygiene. But the Pharisees were upset the way the disciples ate. And I got to believe, you know, that Jesus didn't have a problem with it, or he would have said something to them. They understood sometimes about the law and some things that they could do. You may remember that when they walked through the fields, they plucked the grain and did eat on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees didn't like that. And I'm pretty sure they didn't wash their hands, you know, but they didn't say anything about the hand washing then, because the Sabbath seemed to weigh, you know, they chose the higher sin, so to speak. And they confronted Jesus about the problem. And he reminded about David, what David did, you know, how he took the grain from the priest's granaries that wasn't legal for him to do that and fed them to his people. And he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. They could not find anything wrong with Jesus, so they went after the disciples. The devil still works that way. If he can't find anything wrong with the preacher, he'll go after the church. And you need to stay prayed up, folks, so God can't use you to cause any trouble. Some people think they know what's wrong with the church, and they figure that it's their job to straighten it out. And what we need to do is get on our knees before God and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to straighten things out. He can do a lot more than you and I could ever do. I don't know about you, but I'm not as smart as Jesus. He knew the religious leaders. He knew what they were. He knew they were hypocrites, and he didn't mind telling them so. Now, it's not my place to call anybody a hypocrite. I just try not to be one myself. He told them that Isaiah prophesied of them. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You put aside the commandment of God to make man's traditions. He went on to give the example. The fifth commandment said that they would honor their mother and father. You got four commandments of the Lord. The fifth one is more or less for the family, and the others are for other people. And God told them to honor their parents and care for them and take care of them. And, you know, they took care of their children when they were little. They ministered to them, saw if they had what they need, and then when they grow up, they were to turn around and bless their family, their parents. Remember, they had no Social Security or Medicare in those days. And the more children you had, the more chance that things would be good for you in your old age. But the Pharisees turned it around and did it different. They took what they had and dedicated it to God. That meant it could not be used to help their parents because it belonged to God. Some commentaries suggest that they did an open show of it, that they gave it to the temple in an open show, whatever they had. And there'd be a crooked priest in there that for a percentage he'd give it back to them. Jesus said what they did made the word of God of none effect. They voided God's commandment by their tradition. People want to change things, even today, into the way they want them. It fits them. Today, the church uses 10% of income as a tithe. The first mention of the 10% was when Abraham was giving to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the type of Christ, and he came from Salem, which was the first city of Jerusalem, before it was called Jerusalem. Now, he was king of Salem, and we have the prince of, which made him king of peace, and we have the prince of peace. And Melchizedek was the high priest, and he blessed Abraham. I would say to you that you owe God tithes and offerings, but you need to be regular with it. You need to be regular. I knew this would bother me, and I might as well get it off my chest. Well, I was kind of nervous this morning when I was going to speak and everything, and I came up here, and I forgot the checkbook this morning. I didn't tithe my tithe, but I'll get it tonight. You know, I promise I'll get it tonight. You need to be regular with your tithes and offerings. Don't give God what you want. Give God what you owe. You may think I do this, mention this, you know, so I'll get a bigger salary from the church. Oh, wait a minute. I don't get a salary from the church at all. Never mind. You give to God not just for the church, but you give to God for you. For you. Given it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, the Bible says. You cannot give God. Now, I'm not rich, but I am blessed, thanks to God. Jesus said, given it shall be given to you. He said that. God said that. For the same measure that you measure it out, it shall be measured to you again. The more you give, the more God's going to bless you. That's just simple math, folks. The more you give, the more God's going to bless you. That doesn't mean he's going to make you rich. It means the more he's going to bless you. That can mean give a man an honest day's work and he'll give you your pay. We need to do what's right. Some preachers say send their money, your money to them and God will bless you. I don't agree with that. You give it to God. Give your tithe and offering to God and God will bless you. Now, I had rather a strange thing happen to me last year, Lo and I. Last year I had a young man that used to go to the Gunner Church when we were there. That's been years ago. And I got a $50 money order from him. And I didn't know why, you know. But I tried to be nice. I sent him a thank you card, you know. The next month, I got a $1,000 money order from him, you know. Made me wish I'd have sent a bigger thank you card. But next thing, you know, I didn't know why. So this time I called the young man and asked him about it. And he said he had just decided to start sending me some money from time to time, you know, like a $1,000 offering. And I explained to the young man, you know, no, I didn't want him to do that. It's just not right. I don't know if he's paying his tithes to the church even, but he was sending me money. And I said, no, please don't do that. There are other people that need it more than I do. And you send your offering to someone else that needs it. Then please don't send it to me. And he didn't. He quit. Now, I guess I should have waited a little longer before I told him that, maybe. I don't know. But there are others that need it more. And Abraham, when someone tried to give him something, he said, no, God's going to bless me. And maybe this was a test for me. I don't know, you know, if I would keep receiving the money or whatever I would do. But it did stop. I did ask, and it was stopped. And yes, I paid tithes on that $1,000. I want you. I'm like Abraham. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless me. In whatever way, in every way, I want God to bless me. Then Jesus called the people unto him. No doubt the Pharisees had made their complaint loud enough. And Jesus wanted to clear up any confusion they had about a washing of hands. One commentary that I read said that they believed there were small demons that got on your hand. And if you didn't wash your hand, that you would ingest those demons. Now, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. I do believe in washing your hands, but it's one of those strange beliefs that somebody made up. Jesus wanted to set the record straight. Nothing that enters the body is going to defile the body of a person. Jesus cleared up that you can eat anything. You can have bacon, you can have ham, you can have shrimp, you can have catfish, you can have all the things the Jews can't have. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It won't defile you. Now, let me kind of make this clear. Too much of some things will make you sick. You know, you eat too much sugar, you're liable to get sick. Diabetes, heart problems, cancer. Don't work at making yourself sick and then ask God to heal you. What goes in will not defile you, but gluttony is still a sin. You know, you just don't want to put too much in, especially at one time. And while I'm on the subject, I just want to make sure somebody doesn't take what I've said about things going into the body won't defile them. I want to make it clear so that they don't come up with their own religion. Liquor, beer, cigarettes, cigars, and illegal drugs will kill you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe he wants you to treat it bad. We need to take care of ourselves. And I've gone this far, let me wade out a little bit deeper. Stay out of pornography and gambling and adultery and fornication. Don't defile the body and don't defile the mind. You know, if your children see you doing these things, how can you tell them not to do them? And if Jesus sees you doing these things, what are you going to tell him? Psalms 24 says, "As you shall descend into the who shall descend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place?" And David goes on to say, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart." It's not hard to have clean hands, but a pure heart doesn't always come easy. The devil's always trying to put some impure thoughts in your mind. Psalms 51:10 says, "Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." David understood that he needed to change. He had to have a change, and a change that David had, he could not do himself. For you to become a new creation takes God. You were born in sin, and we live our sin until the day we repent of our sins, and Jesus Christ comes to live in our heart. You may look at yourself as a good person, and it may be a little bit harder for you to recognize that you're a sinner. I used to tell people that I was one of the nicest guys going to hell. I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, and I didn't go with girls who do. So I never robbed anybody or killed anybody. That's one of the problems of being a good individual. To hide our sins, we cover them with the good things we do. But we need to get past the good things and realize sometimes sin can sneak in. The bad thing in the world won't defile us. But the desire to have and do those things in our heart will defile us. But desires that come out of you will defile you. Before you came to church today, I imagine probably all of you washed your hands. Maybe even took a shower or a bath, and you brushed your teeth, and the person sat next to you hopes you used deodorant. You came clean. You wanted to be clean when you came to God's house. In verses 21 and 22, Jesus named some things that defile a man. And the first thing Jesus mentioned was an evil thought. How many of you have had an evil thought? Don't raise your hands. This morning, since you got up, did you covet something someone else had? Maybe there was somebody rode in front of you, and they had a big, nice boat, and you decided you wanted one of those and lusted after it. Or maybe the guy that you were doing the speed limit, and he passed you anyway, and you said, "I hope he gets a ticket." Or maybe you had some crosswords with your family. Seems like the devil on Sunday mornings wants to rub things wrong in homes. You come to God's house, and how can you talk to God when you can't speak to other people you won't talk to? How can you pay your tithes or bills if you wasted your money on foolishness? How can you worship the Prince of Peace when you've got no peace in your heart? I believe everyone here would want to see God move more in the church. But do you don't mind doing it as long as it's not at your expense? I was excited about the other day in the kids' craze, see so many people out there working, and appreciated everyone in the church. But the church is not going to do more until we do more. We're going to have to start doing things that we need to do. How many pray every day for the church and Brother and Sister Otwell? Every day, not just once in a while, but every day. Do you make a point to remember and pray for prayer requests for those that's having surgery, for those that has a need? Do you remember? Or you just hear them and pray one time here in the service and forget about it the rest of the week? Are you praying every day for the lost? Everybody knows somebody that's lost. Or maybe they aren't lost and you just think they are, but you need to be praying for them anyway. You really want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Sometimes we need to look at what we've done and see if we can't do more. Everyone here wants a mansion in the Father's house. But how often do we stop and think what the Father wants? He wants you and I to be like his Son, to do better. And if you've reached that perfect point, you're probably a better Christian than I am. How much time do you think you have left here? Are you using most of your free time for your pleasure and not God's? There's little time left, and there's much to be done. Or do you have a nagging doubt today that you're not ready? You know that you want to go and you're planning on getting ready. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you're not ready today, you're taking an awful chance. I remember a young man who came to the church I attended years ago. He was a good-looking young man, athletic, and he loved softball, and he was good at it too. He had been on a couple of secular teams before he came to the church team, and he was more faithful, though, to the softball games than he was to church. And he had a temper. He was not patient with anyone who was not as good as he was or who made a mistake. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we are to examine ourselves whether we're in the faith. Today might be a good day to do that. Have you repented of all your sins? Are you living to do more for God? I feel sure your hands are clean today, but what about your heart and life? When people outside the church see you, do they know that's a Christian? That's a man that is faithful to God. A lady that loves the Lord. Is Jesus knocking at your heart's door today? Maybe it's the first time you've ever felt the Holy Spirit move on you. And he's asking to come into your heart and life today. And you've never done that before. But he wants you to do it today. Or maybe he's been in your heart and life in the past and you've kind of got away. And maybe he's asking to come back in, to let him be part of your life once again. Don't take the chance that this might be your very last day.